Blog Talk Radio.
Why do all the worst things happen to the best of us? And why does all the life God made just turn to dust? And why the hell is there a hell at all? And why would God let angels fall? They were created to fly. So if you're up there, could you ask him why? And send me a butterfly. Let it be the color of your eyes. Show me a falling star. The second I'm wondering where you are, let me hear our favorite song. The next time I turn the radio on, if you're up there, butterfly. I know they say have some faith, right now I just need a sign, a sign, a sign. Send me a butterfly. Let it be the color of your eyes. Show me a falling star. The second I'm wondering where you are, let me hear our favorite song. The next time I turn the radio on, if you're up there on the other side, I know you're up there on the other side. Send me a butterfly.
You want some more talent? I want some more talent. Keep watching and subscribe.
Sorry about that M-part, everyone. That was Send Me a Butterfly by the singer Nolan Neal. Sounds like it's starting again. That's wow. Hold on. Sorry. I had not seen him on the show, but he was a contestant on America's Got Talent. And to me, that song was amazing, and so was his voice, and I bet you he would have went far. But the reason that I stumbled across that song, Send Me a Butterfly by Nolan Neal, is because on July 18th of this year, he passed away. And there's something, you know, I don't know of what, and I just, it's such a sad thing to think of how far he could have gone. And what caught my eye before any of that was I saw the picture of him, and in the glance with his beard and all, I kind of thought it was Stephen for a second, and then when I clicked on it, it wasn't, and I learned about the song, and I learned about the singer, and I hadn't even mentioned that to Stephen yet, just saying. But this is Deborah Lee, and you're listening to A Team of Voices Radio. We're a radio group that hangs at allpoetry.com, and you can find us under the Groups tab, A Team of Voices, and I'll meet you there. You can hang out with us. We share the links to the poems that we read on the show on that chat wall, and you can follow along and comment, and you're welcome to call and participate as well. And the number is 1-646-668-2837. Again, that's 1-646-668-2837. And tonight, all the poems are to butterfly prompts. And I offered up the song that we just heard as an inspiration. So I'm very anxious to see what kind of poetry comes from it. And for those who don't know, I'm a mega butterfly fan. Wings, anything with wings, I love. And we knew that the butterfly show would come eventually, but apparently it was meant to be now because I stumbled across that amazing song. And on that note, thank you for that, Nolan Neal. Beautiful song. Rest in peace. Let's say hello to my big brother and co-host, Jay Hatter. Hey, Hatter, welcome to the show.
Hey. Thank you, thank you. Yeah, it sort of reminded me. It sort of reminded me of the one Jeopardy contestant they let play. She only had like a year to live. They didn't tell anybody. She did quite well. She became the champion for a little bit, and she died the same year.
Yeah, I think I remember hearing about that, but sort of after the fact, like you said, they didn't tell anybody. Sometimes little special things happen right when they're supposed to, and geez, if I try to go there, I'll be crying. So I'm going to go directly to the people behind you, which happens to be the dynamic duo from A Poetic Slice of Life, the owner Kay and her hubby Steven, who I actually just mentioned. Hey guys, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Glad you're here. And I mean, he doesn't look anything like you from what I can see in the in your profile pic, but his beard caught my eye. So thanks for having a beard and making me find that song, Steven. So, on that note, I know that you guys have been in the mortuary since 7:30 tonight, so I'm just going to shoot right over, and I'm going to get Kay's poem and put it on the board, and as soon as you see that, please take us away.
Okay. I call us Mistin the Cumulus. September lanes to northway tunnels of summer vistas, air wafting, cotton candy, sugary confections, tickling the lakeside foundlands and barefoot sunsets, the sound of tires crunching rocks, giggling children twixt shore breezes, teals of plum skyline and pastels calligraphy, whispers pardoning a shriven of conciliation, and the poem.
Amazing metaphors, as always. I'm stuck at the beginning with the semblances homesteading. I love the word semblances, for one. And then coupling it with the homesteading is actually quite brilliant. And I like the lakeside foundlings and barefoot sunsets. Barefoot anything are my favorite kind of thing. Even in the winter, I'm usually barefoot. But the sound of the tires crunching rocks, giggling children. You added a lot of the sights and the sounds of the change in season as we step away from hopefully soon the humidity and a million degrees and have a couple days of cool Indian summer type of days before we just automatically turn ice cold, which sadly, the, what's that thing called? The Farmer's Almanac is predicting that it's going to be a terrible, terrible winter. So, Anyway, back to the poem. I just got sidetracked. I'm sorry. But like I said, barefoot sunsets took me away for a minute. And then the giggling children twixt shore breezes is a sweet view. Because, like, they're giggling and you're glad because school started. And it's just got great, and then a shriving of conciliation. I mean, it's this is another beautiful Brevity K. Thank you very much. And it's a gold winner, too. Congratulations on that. Mm. Hatter, what you think?
Yeah, the air walking cotton candy, sugary confections set me up, particularly the lakeside. I was reading it a little before. And I got down to giggling chickens, and I was starting to laugh at myself. I said, that's not chickens, is it? Giggling chickens.
No.
how do you like writing the brevity, the shorter? You see that you're writing more of that. It's a challenge, isn't it?
It can be, but if you're in the right surroundings, it's actually pretty easy. So I've been writing a lot of birds this summer because of my surroundings. They kind of just take me to a certain place, and that's that.
Yeah. It's a different – it's the next step after you – because I did the same thing that I think everybody does. You got the 19 stanzas, the 12 stanza poems. Cut it down to 3 or 4 and be satisfied. You know. Good job.
Thank you.
Awesome comment, Hatter. And Stephen, will you comment for your wife while I grab your link, please?
Yeah, I definitely agree with what everybody said. You know, there are some very beautiful descriptions in this. I personally really, I told you my comment, really liked the line about the tires crunching on the rocks, because, you know, that's a sound that's very familiar, and to me it brought this brevity to life. It is a wonderful rhyme.
Hey, Steven.
Awesome comment, and I'm about to add yours to the board, but if you want to go ahead and give us the rundown of what's happening at A Poetic Slice of Life, that would be awesome, too.
I can do that, but first, what'd you need, Hatter?
I just read a story. This old man caught a sturgeon on a Barbie pole. I got a video
pole.
Of it.
Oh,
a Barbie
wow.
pole. Gotta see it.
Wow. There you go. So
yeah,
like
makes $100 real, Chad. Yeah. You don't need that. Get a stick.
Yeah. All right, let's see. What's coming up at A Poetic Slice of Life? The Poetic Inklings is on Wednesday. That is, we're going to be looking at the movie St. Elmo's Fire. We have quotes from the movie to write to. Check them out. That's 9 p.m. on Wednesday. And Thursday is the Movement of Sound, and that is going to be Tears for Fears. We're going to listen to music from Tears for Fears. We're going to learn about that music, and we're going to read some poems inspired by that. Now, you said that something different we're going to postpone.
Going on Friday.
Okay.
So the next show after Thursday is Saturday, and that's John.
Sky, Storyboards with Sky, and we're looking at the movie Lady Hawk.
Lady Hawk.
I haven't seen that in a long time. Quotes, characters, scenes, movie rights, come and geek out with Sky Saturday night at 8 p.m. How's that?
Sounds awesome.
All right. Now, let's see here. Here we go. Yeah, I really like this picture, and it made me think of, it made me think of our fur babies here at home, so that's the direction I ended up having to go. So I call this, though the mind may be willing, a nap takes top billing. Upon laggard, lazy, stretching yawns and sunbeams through the curtain seams, the brilliant butterfly or moth does flit, pass long blinks and waking dreams. Hind paw plays guitar behind pricked ear, sandpaper tongue cleans fluffy fur. Multicolor moth or butterfly lands on the wet nose, and the gray-age feline purrs. Too old and tired to proffer the chase that the brindle butterfly or moth does request, as the cat's eyes close for an afternoon nap, polychrome pollinator fathoms it for the best. End poem.
I think I might have wrote this on the wall, or no, I think I said it to you, I don't know, but I really love this picture. And your title, Though the Mind May Be Willing, a Nap Takes Top Billing. I thought that was a clever play on words and a stone-cold truth, too. Lazy stretching yawns, brilliant butterfly or moth does flit past long kidneys. Long blinks and waking dreams. I get. Okay, let's see if I pay attention instead of assuming what it says. Hind paw plays guitar behind pricked ear, and I can picture that too. You get that sweet spot, and then all of a sudden that little paw goes crazy, and calling it playing guitar was really sweet. Too old and tired. Brindle butterfly. The cat's eyes close for an afternoon nap. Polychrome pollinator fathoms for the best. It's for the best. But I mean, the picture's sweet. The words you chose are sweet. Another brevity that's a 10. Your flying past your 400 point nav on your way to 425, and these are brilliant. They really, really are. I'm impressed. I got a smile from the humor. I recognize that. So it was very, very awesome, and I appreciate it. And Hutter, what did you think?
Yeah, I got the great visual with the hind paw plays guitar. I mean, that's a great image, but have you seen the cat that can play drums? It's a great video.
I have seen that.
Yeah. Have you? Yeah, that orange cat. It's remarkable. He's actually playing drums. He's playing drums on that piece of cardboard. But the colored moth and butterfly, you know, on a wet nose, butterfly would go, oh, what did I step in? But a moth. Mm-hmm. That's a good picture, too. Yeah, cat's eyes closed. Yeah, they seek that little bit of sunshine on this carpet, don't they?
Yes, they do.
Yeah, I even still smiling from the view of that. And I'm glad everybody is enjoying the feel that comes from the butterflies in that song. Even I don't remember the last time I wrote for my show, but even I wrote for tonight. Shocker. Kay, you want to comment for your hubby?
Well, seeing as this is about our household, I gave you a funny comment. My comment is, the queen would say, who are you calling lazy? Now cook me breakfast. This is cute. But as I said, their youth is spent. They do just want to sleep. And they tend to make friends with everything in this house because it's easier than being ambitious. They even make pets friends with, like, ants and spiders, you know, because they don't want to make the ambition of killing. So they just let everything pass by.
No.
Our kids are old and tired.
Fabulous comment. And I know you've been on all night, so if you have to go, we will talk soon, and I appreciate you. And I put my link on the board.
Mm.
Okay, and I called it Send Me a Sign from the Other Side. Here we go. Sipping my coffee on the patio this morning, eyes by gold finches and cedar wax wings. Meet the lemon sun with the tangerine ring as breezes blow, then brown sparrows sing. Then I see the butterfly sent for me. Today the sky wears pink and cobalt blue hue. Twin butterflies looped twirling into the view. And fingers press buttons to telephone you. But to the other side, no calls can go through. Did you airmail me those two butterflies to me? Tonight over the ebony that blankets the sky, the fireflies choreograph the neon butterfly, blinking in patterns that capture the eye. Then lighted wings flutter and wave goodbye. You did airmail all those butterflies for me. And boom.
Wow. Is she with us, Kay?
I read this earlier. Well, yeah, I like how this reads because I am a strong believer in messengers. I do believe that there are signs all around us and messengers. In the silent ways of letting one know they are loved and remembered and not alone. I like the author's notes as well because they are just the sweet. When you say miss you every day, keep sending me butterfly. So yeah, it definitely is sweet. As I say, always keep the eyes open because those signs and the messengers, they are always there. It's a beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah,
you'd
be
messenger. Thank you very much.
Like the white dove or the black crow or something, that sort of a sign.
Everything's a sign. I feel.
Yeah.
Cardinals.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, all kinds of. I think everybody has something that, when they see it, makes them think of someone, and that makes it extra special, you know?
Exactly.
But
cardinals,
thank you, Kay.
It's very personal, too. usually.
Yes.
Very good. Did you ever help therapist? Yeah. Butterflies. So sad about that dude. We're going to have to look up and see if he knew.
Yeah, I really don't know for sure what happened. I should have looked, but then you don't know that it would have been something that should have been said on the air anyway. I just wanted to make, give a nod to him. And
Those that leave us deserve a tribute. That's what I try to do with the music shows, to do some of the people that aren't around
absolutely.
Anymore.
Yeah.
Well, not forgotten.
But I think, Stephen, I know you want to go. Did you want to say something?
Oh, I'm sorry.
I definitely agree with what Kay said, because I thought this was a beautiful piece. As you know, Kay and I are very strong believers in signs from the other side in nature, be it butterflies, cardinals, or dragonflies. I often think of the snowy owl that I used to hear when I used to be a smoker in the middle of the night talking to me when I was outside having a 3 a.m. cigarette. I always thought that might have been my father telling me to put the cigarette out. But, I thought this was a beautiful piece.
Uh-oh.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. And I guess if not before, I'll see you, Wednesday?
Yes.
Yes.
Hey, you guys got to hear my poem. You got to hear my poem.
Okay. It's on the board,
Hannah. You don't have to comment. Okay. Did everybody see it there? I saw you loaded it. They are
loaded
not here
it.
To
it...
play. Here. I titled it, They Are Not Here to Play. What a sweet looking thing. Okay, it goes like this. Squirms of worms might be your concern. It happened the other day. They come in charms to do great harm. They are not here to play. Gross at first, there's nothing worse. They pack like hungry dogs. They'll eat their fill while standing still. They come from Satan's bog. Creepy crawlers with black tie collars. They're here to plant their seed. Man has destroyed the place they enjoyed. They've come to make us bleed. Where once was small, they learned to crawl. Now they fill the sky. Like none before, you hear the roar. This time they're in disguise. And what's worse, there is a curse. They're here to eat your brains. They'll hunt you down and as they surround, they'll hurt you. They'll hunt you like your game. Don't smell the flowers, because between the hours the sun comes out to shine, the beasts are there to tangle your hair. They're all pets of mine. So if you see what looks like bees, stay clear, for they are not in packs like dogs. They come from bogs. You need to run, not walk. My pets you see like killer bees. They'll cut you down to size. Don't think they're tame. You're just game to my killer butterflies.
Damn, Hatter. Really showing off with that Hatter rhyme tonight. And killer butterflies. This is really awesome. Squirm of worms might be your concern. It happened the other day. They come in charms to do great harm. They are not here to play. Always spot on. Creepy crawlers with black tie collars, they're here to plant their seed. Man has destroyed the place they enjoyed. They've come to make us bleed. This is really, really awesome and perfect cadence and so impressive.
Sounds so much better when you read it.
It sounds good, period. I want to let them guys comment so they can leave, but let me say hello to Linda first.
Sure.
Liquid Damage, welcome to the show.
Hi, Deb.
Glad you're here, doll.
How are you? Yeah. Barely by the skin of my nose.
You're here. That's all that counts.
Hi, Hatter.
Hi. Go.
Is Kay still here?
No, she had to step away, but I have a brief comment.
Please do, so you can go and hang with your lovely wife.
Yeah, I just see what I'm seeing here is, of course, maybe a spinoff from The Walking Dead. We'll call it The Flying Dead, starring Andrew Lincoln. Yeah, zombie butterflies.
That's right. That's right. You can't hear them when they're there.
But they can hear you.
Yeah, they can hear you. Yeah. Well, let them land on you.
Thank you for calling, Stephen, and hugs to you and Kay, and we will talk soon. Love and respect.
Take care, everybody.
Thanks, guys.
Good night.
Right.
And Linda, did you get here in time to hear Hatter or look at the poem?
You know, I got here to hear the last two verses, and they were awesome, but I'm kind of reading it through right now, and wow, Hatter, this is, like, way good.
Deborah, could you read it?
Yeah, sure. Let me go right back to that. Okay, here we go. It's called They Are Not Here to Play by Jay Hatter. Squirms of worms might be your concern. It happened the other day. They come in charms to do great harm. They are not here to play. Gross at first, there's nothing worse. They pack little hungry dogs. They'll eat their fill while standing still. They come from Satan's bog. Creepy crawlers with black tie collars. They're here to plant their seed. Man has destroyed the place they enjoyed. They've come to make us bleed. Where once were small, they learned to crawl. Now they fill the sky. Like none before, you'll hear the roar. This time, they're in disguise. And what's worse, there is a curse. They're here to eat your brains. They'll hunt you down, and as they surround, they'll hunt you like your game. Don't smell the flowers between the hours the sun comes out to shine. The beasts are there to tangle your hair. They're all pets of mine. So if you see what looks like bees, stay clear for what they're not. In packs like dogs, they'll come from bogs. You need to run, not walk. My pet, you see, like killer bees, they'll cut you down to size. Don't think they're tame. You're just game. To my killer butterflies.
Wow. You have absolutely outdone yourself, Hatter.
Oh, well, thank you.
Really cool.
I started writing, and I figured, how am I going to get killer butterflies and my pets, being my pets in this thing? So I struggled a little bit.
No, you did. This is perfect. I mean, in every way, you wrote a cohesive story with some of the best lines I've heard. I mean, really cool. Really cool. Great
Thank
imagery
you.
And Thank editing. Yeah, you're welcome.
I like the don't smell the flowers between the hours. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Deb.
Awesome. I was trying to write my comment. Okay, let me see where we are here.
Yeah.
That was so impressive. Hatter, such a show off. I mean, really, that was.
Yeah, maybe that was
really
showing off a
good.
Bit. Right, sorry about that.
No, it's like it's showing off's a good thing. AP does it all the time. Okay.
Well, I rarely walk away completely satisfied with a piece, but this one I did. That's why I've had to chuckle.
Right on.
It's spot on with the cadence, the rhyme, the flow, the giggle, the storyline. Oh, and you might want to share that link with Sky because she's a zombie fan. She'll get a kick out of that. Just saying.
Oh, okay. Sky's okay. Okay.
All right. Let me see here. How about if I go grab Linda's poem and she can read, because she's another master of rhyme and flow and cadence and bringing us a great story.
Aww.
So,
I don't know if I can stand up to Hatterstorm.
Well, we find you quite impressive, my dear, and when you see your lady, please take us away.
What are you talking about?
Thank you. This is called A Whistle from a Butterfly to the Moon. And it goes like this. If I were a dream, I'd be a sonnet in the night, like a butterfly giving lessons to the moon. I would flutter by on a breeze of lullabies and softly whistle him a little tune. He'd giggle just a bit to hear my silly song, then he'd blink his eyes just so bright. Let us dance when we've the chance, then held out his hand, and then he sent a smile to the night. He then takes my hand and twirls me twice or thrice. How gentle on your feet that you are. Magic streams and gifts of dreams, that is who you are, dancing to the rhythm of the stars. I tell the moon how sweet his words, he charms me with his voice, and to me he is the very best. And how the castle clock chimes the tick and talk and sings that it's time to take a rest. So then sweet moon says adieu, I'll catch you on the morrow, once the sun sets down and out of sight. And with a sigh he'll close his eyes to slumber safe and sound. Then I'll kiss him, kiss his chin, and say good night in peace.
With his sigh,
look, he's got any rhyme in there. With the sigh, he'll close his eyes. Isn't that satisfying to the ears?
That's why I was saying nobody better to go after you than her, because she's another one with that. That was a good way to put it, too, pleasing to the ear. If I were a dream, I'd be a sonnet in the night like a butterfly giving lessons to the moon. I would flutter by on a breeze, lullabies, and softly whistle him a little tune. Just that right there would be a great caption for that picture. It's endearing and sweet and great rhyme, great flow. And the what's it, two, just a few sections. So for you, I mean, this is a mega brevity for you, and it still has the details that took us on the journey. You got the feel of the cadence. You got the tenderness. And like, what was that? I tell the moon how sweet the words. He charms me with his voice, and to me he is the very best. And now the castle clocks chime and tick and tock and signs that it's time to take a rest. I mean, it's like a little enchanted fairy tale in a brevity. Excellent work, Linda.
Yeah, and actually I wrote the poem before I saw the picture because I didn't want to steal another picture and not be able to come. So I just figured I'd write a piece, and if I could get it done and be awake, then I would write the piece. So, I mean, then I would get the picture, which... I got so lucky that you had a picture of butterflies in the moon.
It was just like kind of meant to
That's
be,
the
I'd
only
say.
One.
Yeah, right.
I gotta say,
that's true.
How important is the first line of a poem? I tell you, it's everything. If I were a dream, now you couldn't hook anybody harder than that. Your first line, if I were a dream, I guarantee that they rode with antennas up.
Right.
The rest of us. And you're always spot on with the cadence and the way you read it is great. You have no problem going after me. Let me tell you, very good.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Fabulous comment and great poem and. AP is in the studio. Hold on a second. If I can find the button.
Yay,
there it is.
AP.
Hello, AP. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Dave. Hi, Linda. Hi, Heather. How are you?
Hi, AP.
AP Taylor. How goes it down under?
Well, not too bad. Heather, somebody said my name, and I thought I should pop by. So.
I find it amazing that we're talking to Australia right now, as clear as you are. It just it blows me away.
Yeah, well, as I said, it's to Pretty Bird the other day. It's only 19 hours in a plane from where she is, so it's a little ways away.
And there's no delay.
Cool. No, there's no delay. It's wonderful. Thank God for satellite.
It is. Got to find out why is it a delay.
There you go.
That's so
I like
cool.
The poem. It's pretty cool. It's very sweet. Lovely rhyming as always, but and now the castle's clock chimes, a tick and a tock, and sings that it's time to take a rest. It's very cute. It's almost like a kid's nursery rhyme in the sort of the way the tempo. It's really interesting.
Thank you.
Yeah, I thought so too. And I had forgot that you were mentioned a minute ago. Your ears must have been ringing.
Well,
in the meantime, I just heard from David. He said he's not ignoring everyone. His power's been out for a couple of days. PGE shuts the power down in the Mount Hood corridor where I've been during peak hazard weather. So I think it's a typical dry gust, perfect for wildfires. Some of his food went bad. Power. He had no water or anything. So he is, quote, rebooting his household. He is okay. So thank you for the heads up, David, and we're glad you're okay. And
I am so glad I'm out of there.
Well, Hatter was saying he could smell it as well. So all the fires I check on him with all the time, and this is the closest one that he's ever been to him, he said.
Yeah, the last year we were there, we had to be evacuated. It was awful.
That's horrible.
And then they shut off your electricity, and then you're, like, blind. It's, like, terrible.
Yep.
When we had that Paradise fire last year, that was a horror movie, the way...
Yes.
I mean, I've been to Paradise, and it's like you the highway's on top of a canyon wall with sheer cliffs on both sides. Most of it's right up.
Yep.
There's only two ways in. That's basically the only way out. And those canyons acted like blast furnace.
Horrible.
Football field the second. They said that was climbing. My God.
Mm.
Goodness me.
Wow.
Anyway. So, Dan. I've been writing.
Yes, sir. I was just about to ask you if you were on a time crunch, and if so, if you could put your poem on the board, please.
Well, to my knowledge, there's only been one Trivenel before, and this is number two. This is Trivenel number two. This is, since I did the first one, I'm allowed to share some of the lines. This is Effervescence, Trivenel. It goes a little bit like this. As butterflies don't obscure their presence, here in relief find a pattern of many stars, finely held, strings where they glide and flitter in iridescence, and tremble when they descend from afar. Nebula and comets soon make descents in between the darkness and black stew, where we see the colour of their wings. As butterflies don't obscure their presence, they proudly wander vividly into view. No matter the distance between their ascents, their antennae lead us both towards and far. Across the skies and broad universe swings, see camouflage with over their essence, as distance does not mean thoughts mar. Inklings of light stream through far suspense, through periwinkle and purple colours brew. Presence is simple and weighed on wings. As butterflies don't obscure their presence, they flutter in pools of colours, far from few. We have instead a frosting of effervescence, scan out the fireflies and glow-worm star. There are rich colours, not darkness by stings. See camouflage would alter their essence, as their colours create lasting memoirs. Far from difficulties often seen immense, where the answer can discover anew. Discover joy, hear optimism brews, alongside the dancing gently to spring. As butterflies don't obscure their presence. See camouflage would alter their essence in poem.
Long line rhyme. The OAC, that was the long line rhyme. It was just long enough that you go, where is it? Where is it? Where is it? Then when you hit the, when you say the rhyming word, it was satisfying. Yeah. That's really good.
So I'm trying to gather myself here. It's been a day, and like this is mind blowing. I recognize the previous lines, and I'm trying to figure out how you could make it a little more beautiful each time you twist it, but yet always comes back to the don't obscure their presence and camouflage would alter their essence, which is my favorite part from the original one. I'm trying not to cry. I'm totally in awe. I think it's incredible, and these aren't easy. Look at all them lines and stanzas and the colors and everything throughout it, the rhyme, the flow. It's spectacular.
Still got
her comment.
Yeah, I thought, same thing. I love the way she writes. It's so different than the way my mind thinks. So I've got to grab each line as you read it, and you read so well also. Where's the one? Inklings of light stream through far suspense to periwinkle purple colors brew, and then you do the real long line, which is presence is simple and weighed on wings as butterflies don't obscure the presence. They flutter in pools of colors far from view. It's like, oh, you're just waiting for that rhyme line, that rhyme word. But it's there. Very good.
It just takes a little while to get there, Hatta, but it does get there.
Do you read yours aloud as you write?
Yes. Yes, yeah. I do. I try to get the cadence right, and it's very hard to do that without reading it out loud, Hatta.
Yeah, it is. It's satisfying for the poet as much as it is for the reader to hear. I mean, it is for me when I write it that way, but it's so hard. I'll start off with a long rhyme like you did, but mine gets shorter and shorter, or try to anyway. Shorter lines rhyme, like, oh, keep it long. There's always an inner battle.
Yeah, I think you keep on wanting to chop yourself short, which is what happens to me as well. So it works better on a long rhyme if you can keep the long rhyme or just occasionally do one shorter one. Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's the narrative of the Grinch Stole Christmas is a long line rhyme story.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Boris Karloff does it very well.
Yeah. I've just got the cleaners coming, Hatter. If you're wondering what's going on in the background, just one sec. Hello. Hold on.
Here.
Hi there. I'll be one tick. It just goes with the flow, Hatter. It just goes with the flow. And so, and the best way to do that is to listen to it out loud. Yeah.
That last stanza's kicking my butt.
Yep.
He obviously has to go. Linda, will you comment so that AP deal with
sure.
whatever that is?
Vivid imagery with fantastic rhyme and flow. Such soft in the wordage and kind in the verse. You do your butterfly quite proud. And this, inklings of light stream through far suspense. To prairie wrinkle and purple colors brew, presence and simple and weighed in on wings, as butterflies don't obscure their presence, they flutter in pools of color far from few. That is a beautiful verse. It stood out to me, I think, because of the periwinkle and purple, which are two of my favorite colors. But, yeah, really nicely written, AP. I was very impressed. Thank you for sharing it.
Pleasure. Thanks, Linda.
You're welcome.
Amazing.
AP, thank you.
Now the vacuum cleaners are going, so I better go. Deb, you won't be able
thank
to.
You.
Okay, thank you. Okay, thanks, Deb. Thanks, Anna. Thanks, Linda.
Yeah.
Thanks,
yeah.
You're welcome.
Sure.
Okay.
So am I.
All choked up here
thank
now.
God.
Where am I at? Let me see here.
Is it so much different than when we started
do,
the show? When we started the show.
Sorry, say that again.
Is it noticeable? It is to me how much better the poetry is than when we started all of this.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, think back 7 years when we started this craziness, and look at us now. And we should have all hung up our quills if it
didn't
improve after writing every single day for years.
We should have the ATOV Awards, most improved, that kind of stuff every year.
Yeah, but we'd have to give everybody one. It's incredible. It's like
Well, you know, when I judged that the big group battle contest they had several years ago, I had to write the obituaries of every, not only the teams, but basically every member as they were eliminated or killed off.
Oh, my Lord.
It took a good. I learned a lot. I did a lot of history on events that happened through history during wartime, and some of it is quite remarkable. And I tried to imply that in the storyline when I had to kill off poets when I got beat. It was quite an adventure.
That shouldn't have made me laugh, but it did. But that's kind of a good thing because I'm trying to not keep crying here. Oh boy!
I remember
okay.
I had to kill somebody off. They fell into a foxhole full of bad limericks.
Well, I
love writing limericks. This one. I won't do it again, but it was fun.
It was probably hard, too, though.
It was at first. But once I got it going, what the theme was, it lasted like almost a year.
That
contest. I think it went over 9 months. Sky was on the winning team. Sky Darkholm was on the winning team.
Yeah.
Go figure, yeah. Heard Owlett, her friend Owlett. Susan Owlett, is it? So, good stuff.
It's Sarah, though, I think. Sarah.
Sarah. Yeah. What a nice person. I got to meet her. I don't talk to her at all, basically anymore. But boy, what a nice person. I had communication with her in that show.
Okay, I think I've composed myself. If you guys will click on Angel's poem, I'll read for her.
Angel. Okay, I'm there.
I'm not there yet. Ooh. Hang on. I got it right now.
Okay. This is called For Chris with All My Heart from Heavenly Angel. And here we go. 26 years, 9,726 days since you left. Has it really been that long? My memories of you still are very vivid, and the feelings of love and devotion are still there, strong as ever. When my blue eyes close, I can still see your smile. I can still feel you as if you were right here. Whenever you were around, smiles were abound, and a sense of happiness, peace, and well-being filled the air. You were one of those who couldn't feel happy unless others were happy too. And you only concentrated on one thing when you were around, your thoughts centered solely on everyone else's well-being. Show me a falling star the second that I'm wondering where you are. Let me hear our favorite song the next time I turn the radio on. If you're up there on the other side, send me a butterfly. Sometimes when my blue eyes close, I can smell your scent, a mixture of earthness and just natural man. I can almost feel your presence standing beside me, looking deeply in my eyes, just holding my hand, and it always seems so real, so very real. So show me a falling star the second that I'm wondering where you are. Let me hear our favorite song the next time I turn the radio on. If you're up there on the other side, send me a butterfly.
Oh.
26 years ago, I stood beside your coffin, saying goodbye to the one I shared intense love with, feeling as if my heart were being ripped out of my chest and buried with you. Tonight, when my blue eyes close in slumber, come to me again. Let me hear our favorite song. If you're up there on the other side, send me a butterfly. Reassure me that our love is over even into death and what lies beyond. Written for James, November 23rd, 1961, to March 17th, 1996.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
The line, send me a butterfly. Oh man, she could put that in there a few more times. It wouldn't hurt.
I like the little the tiny pieces that she pulled from the song to thread in there. She did it perfectly. Yeah. And between her loss and love and sorrow and memories and the work, the song, she did a stunning rendition, like another song around it. Fantastic piece. And it's always an honor to read for her, but that one was tough. I could feel.
It was tough to sit here and listen to. I think the way she started it makes it very personal right off the bat. That's another hook. 26 years, 9,726 days. Right there, you know it makes it. It reaches out and grabs the reader, and personalizes it. She's describing the impacts, the impasse. If anybody's known a true impasse that tries to take the pain of the world. Because that's who they are. I'm going to say this wrong, but I hope you get the meaning. Don't feel too sad for them because they balance out the universe for those that can't feel them. If you try to feel the other's pain and you try to correct the other's pain because you know they're in pain instead of walking away. I think of a lot of poets, a lot of writers are borderline that kind of people. They can't stand to hear somebody's in pain.
Yeah.
It does a very good job. Yeah.
It was very heartfelt as I read it for her. So how could we not be captivated by the fact that she basically sliced open the vein and used blood to write this one for us? So.
I had written a note on Linda, your piece. I was going to suggest that piece that you have, that first stanza could fit at the end to repeat the beginning. It's so good. Just a thought.
Right. Thank you. Yeah, that is a good thought.
And Linda, what do you think of Angel's poem?
Always so beautiful. Everything she writes about, she pulls from deep in her heart the best of her world. This was very sad, but at the same time, it was so beautiful that she brought something good into this world out of something that was a colossal hurt in her heart. And this was just too beautiful for words. I'm telling you, it's gotten me all choked up. But Angel always seems to do that to me. She just writes with such beautiful language in her poetry.
She's the hallmark.
That,
yeah, she's the hallmark lady of our group.
There we go. Good title. But, really good job, Angel. Thank you for sharing.
Awesome comment to both of you. Thank you. And let's see what we have next. Pushing right along. And Wayne misses us. He's tied up, but he'll be back next week. Thanks for the heads up, Wayne. Appreciate it. I love that people, even when they're a little swamped, that they send me a message.
Wayne totals his car and calls it. AP holds up the holds up.
Absolutely, you're right. Board. You're totally right. He sure did. He got hit by someone around the red light, pulled his car out, and still checked in.
Remember how we met him? How he started hanging with us? You can thank Joe Bonamassa. I still have the letter.
Right.
Yeah.
I heard them talking about his kid on the radio when I was out getting my son today. I think he's
Joe Bonamassa, really?
Junior, yes. I heard them talking about
him. I was in the Joe Bonamassa Club.
Oh, really?
Joe Bonamassa Junior.
The guy is so good.
Yeah.
So good. Yeah, he created his own recording company, so he didn't want somebody else to tell him what and how and where and when to write anything. And he's got some of the best musicians in the world wanting to play with him.
Right. Yeah. But now
I think he was 13 years old. He was in the start group to B.B. King when he was 13. He was the and his mom, B.B. King, asked him if it was okay if he could travel with her. He goes, only on the weekends. He's got to go to school. B.B. King.
One of my favorites.
Wayne even checking in during the car crash. And we got Dave checking in during a power outage. And even AP's usually ruling the world somewhere, and he calls in and reads or gives a head up. So
we'll send a posse.
The best people.
They don't want to send a posse out for them.
All right. Laughing Souls poem is on the board. If you guys click on it, I will push her recording.
Yeah. I got. Okay, so.
Ready, Freddy? Here we go.
Vintage Love, a poem by Laughing Souls. Turquoise ribbons unfurl a song, a halcyon silhouette ambles along, as I stroll silently on burnished shores, coyly humming a song of yours. Love, we loved in sepia and pastels, like the corals, roseate and gossamery seashells. Love, was our love or not so true? I drown in reveries, baby, to know you. Sailing on ivory ripples of times bygone, whisper to the balmy breeze, oh, where do I belong? Love, we loved in fragrances jasmine, like the dance of a butterfly on floral rhythm. Love, was our love or not so true? I drown in reveries, baby, to know you. running away to a place I call haven, wishing deep you'd someday break in, sailing on ivory ripples of times bygone. Whisper I to the balmy breeze, oh, where do I belong? Oh, where do I belong? And boom.
No.
Well, great question at the end, huh?
Yeah.
This
yeah.
is a multi-award-winning poem.
What's the word for a personal emotional right? Jesus, not esoteric, but I'm drawing a blank. Existential, is that it?
Existential?
I don't think that's the right word either. Oh, well. That's what I get trying to use big words. No, this is very good. She's always...
Well, I can't say it, but I can tell you that it does mean relating to existing, so,
yeah.
You know.
Well, whatever that word is, she does a very good job at it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and her accent doesn't hurt.
Yeah, I know you like listening to her read. I told her that you. Well, she listens when she wakes up, and she hears you going on and on about her voice. It's beautiful and tranquil. Linda, what do you think, hon?
Well, soul always has a way of reaching deep down in my heart. She's just such a love. And her voice brings out her beautiful personality when she reads her poetry. And I swear she could be reading the phone book and put that much heart and soul into it that everybody would be amazed. This is a beautiful, highly imagery poem.
Yeah.
I love the love we loved in sepia and pastels, like the corals, rosette, and gossamery seashells. Love was our love, oh, not so true. I drowned in reveries, baby, to know you. Just beautifully put. And I don't know what else to say, but I just love this one by her. It's very open and full of poise, and like it kind of danced and swayed and just beautiful. Thank you, Soul, for sending this.
Awesome comment, you guys. Thank you. And the next one is also a sound recording from Phil the Poet. And when you guys say you see it, I will push play.
Running down the hall as we speak.
Don't fall.
I always counted on that. Nobody was going to catch me. I was a track guy in school and played soccer for a lot of years, and now I can't do that. For the hip surgery. Yeah, no more running. Okay, got it.
Already? Okay, then here comes Below the Poet.
This is a poem by Phil the Poet called When a Hummingbird Met a Butterfly. A bird hummed his way to collect some delicious nectar when he saw a fluttering butterfly from another sector. Fascinated by the colors that covered its wings, mustard, charcoal, crimson, and all sorts of things. The butterfly was attracted by the bird's droning sound. He tried to get closer, but the wind spinned him around. Now the hummingbird has paint all over his feathers, which soon dried up in the hot summer weather. The butterfly tried to beat his wings as fast as he could, but he fell off the stem and landed face first in the mud. Looking up, he sees the winged creature walking on air. Dazed and confused, all you can do is sit and stare. The hummingbird hovered over to see if the butterfly was okay, who looked rather unwashed and slightly dazed. "You've ruined your beautifully patterned wings," he said. The insect twitched at its antennae and blushed ruby red. The hummingbird felt sorry for him and began to hum, pulling the butterfly's wings tight as a snare drum. Began to paint a masterpiece on each individual wing. This is when he discovered his artistic calling. End poem.
Aww.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. The colors. I mean, he packed in the colors in the visuals. Right from the beginning, though, a bird hummed his way to collect some delicious nectar when he saw a fluttering butterfly from another sector. Some great rhyme there. Fascinated by the colors that covered its wings, mustard, charcoal, crimson, and all sorts of things. It's got great rhyme. Everybody's doing such a bang-up job with the flow tonight. Butterfly's got a flit, right? The butterfly tried to beat it. Oh, sorry. The butterfly tried to beat
the word back.
There's always the color, the color options as far as the word bank. But to this week, the only thing was listen to the song, feel inspired, and choose a picture. However, he did use all kinds of amazing crayons to help create this scene for us. There are a lot of them there. The hummingbird
great way to
hovered
do it.
Over. Yeah.
Great way to attack.
True.
Yeah, very well.
The hummingbird hovered over to see if the butterfly was okay, who looked rather unwashed and slightly dazed. "You ruined your beautiful patterned wings," he said. The insect twitched his antenna and blushed ruby red. It's got charm and color and style and rhyme. It's a great package. And I'm trying to find the art so I can put it on the board, but I will do that while you finish your comment, Heather.
Yeah, this got my creative juices going when a hummingbird met a butterfly. Right there, I would see with my smart ass sort of way of thinking about things, I would have went the humming fly and the butterbird. Where's the one that attracted the bird? Yeah, the little storyline in it. The butterfly was attracted to the bird's droning sound. Then he went looking, beat his wings. The storyline, it's like anytime there's two animals of different species chatting or having a moment, it's always a good angle to go from. And so Phil always brings it, man. This artistic calling, like a snare drum, pulling the butterfly's wings. Let me fix that for you. It was very good.
Great comment, Hatter. And Linda?
Charming in the least. How a butterfly beats a hummingbird. How could you go wrong with that? It's such a sweet idea. And Phil is a very sweet guy. And his poetry just illuminates his inner and outer personality. But the storyline, and it's nice to see Phil doing whimsical stuff because his stuff is usually more factual. And this is like whimsical and enchanting and magical. And that coming from Phil is a lovely, lovely thing. But I thank Phil for sending this over and reading it because nobody can read a poem like the poet. But his voice and his accent, which I know is not his accent, it's just the way he speaks, but it nice. Brings such charm to the poem. And there's some words that, the way I would say it, probably wouldn't rhyme as well as the way he could, like could and mud. When I say it, it doesn't rhyme. But when he says it, it rhymes. So it's very interesting. The difference, in the verbalization of his poems. But he did a really fine job on this. Thank you, Phil.
Yeah, he does, and it is very important. When I first realized the different accents of poets was somebody commented, I think it was Sarah Owett, I'm not positive, but I had written Grandma, my poem Grandma, and she said, I like the way you use near rhyme. Well, what are you talking about? What does she mean? I don't know what she meant by that, because to me it wasn't, but to her, she's English. It wasn't different, and that's important that he sends in a recording, because it would totally be different. Just like you said, it'd be totally different. Just a little accent, a little one.
Yeah,
very good point. You know, when the poet war starts, I want you, Linda, and Phil the poet definitely on my team. Go around first round.
Yeah. Here we go.
Poet Wars. Oh, yeah, yeah. And I did see the art that Phil wrote to on the board, so you can see the hummingbird and the butterfly. And while you're looking at the art, right underneath of it is the link for WSP. And when you guys tell me you see that, I will push his recording.
Oh. See it. Purple. The diamond bird. You know what? A group of hummingbirds is called. A group of them. It's a charm.
Oh, I shouldn't. Oh, yeah, I should know that.
And a group of butterflies also can have a bunch of different birds, and charm is one of them, I believe.
I love that.
Yeah, me too. I think that's really cool, and I think the. This is only something I think. I didn't verify the fact, but I want to say that the first kaleidoscopes were in the butterfly patterns, and that's what did when you looked in there. It started out with monarch butterfly wings.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I got it. Yeah.
Okay. Freddie had it? I got it. Yep. Here we go. Does it really say 22 seconds? Okay.
Youthful breeze blows, bosom buds blossoming something new. Catch their iris in rapture with your butterfly wings. Pewter clouds part, revealing aquamarine future. Essence of Spring by WSP.
Oh.
Well, he didn't need any more than 22 seconds. Wow. Talk about a beautiful brevity. Yeah. I thought maybe I messed up his recording or something because I didn't actually look at the poem, but now catch their iris and rapture with your butterfly wings. It's a gorgeous. I'm trying to see if he put how many words are here because you know it's only a handful. But it's a gorgeous brevity, the essence of spring. And I like that the first stanza, youthful breeze blows, bosom buds blossoming, something new. I think this came out fantastic, WSP, and I appreciate the recording as well. Thank you for sending it in. And let me get you some comments. Hatter, I heard that well. Would you like to elaborate?
I'll make an admission here about brevity. One of the first times that I brought in or sent in for a contest a three stanza poem, I was in a rush. I was late, My dog ate my homework. I had to get this done. And it ended up being one of the most commented pieces that I've had in my whole vault. From that time, I tried to really concentrate on doing three, four line or stanza pieces. And this is well done. I'd like to see when somebody writes the brevity like this, I'd like to see the other notes he had that he eliminated or how that procedure went and when he was creating this. Because I know what I go through, I just wondered if, because this is a very good vision image bound brevity, and it's hard to do. Youthful breeze blows possible. And I think maybe it is just the using the B words in the first, the little things that make you remember a piece.
Yeah, very true. And I agree, brevity is really hard. Liquid Damage, what did you think?
Well, again, charming. And I agree with Hatter about the brevity. It is so hard to do, and I'm trying to learn to do more brevity type stuff. Even though my stuff is still long, it's a lot shorter than I usually write. But I've done a few brevity things, and yeah, it's quite a difficult thing to work out for me anyway. But I think he did a spectacular job on this. And I like how he says that the syllable count in each verse is the same as the corresponding verse, and that makes it musical, like a song. And this, you know, this could easily be song lyrics. And you know, WSP has such a soothing, calming voice. He doesn't need an accent to push his words. His voice is naturally so soothing. So WSP, nicely done. Thank you for sharing.
So you were talking about his author's notes, where that little piece is, because I was going to mention that.
Right.
Image. Yeah, that's cool. That's part of the creation process I was talking about. You know. Also for fun, I made sure that each line had the same syllable count as their counterparts in each grouping. Cool.
Yeah. Oh, I go through tons of paper when I write, because I write the old-fashioned way with a pen and a paper, and I just go through just tons of paper.
I do too. In favor.
But sometimes I'll go back, because I save loose papers, and sometimes I'll go back and I'll read, and there'll be a process of a poem in there, but I'll read a line that is actually a saver. It's like, wow, and I almost threw that away. So I'm very careful about throwing pieces of poems away, which means I have files and files of stacked paperwork.
Yeah.
And a matter of fact, that poem, Whistling a Tune to the Moon, was something that I had almost thrown away. But,
yeah, there's been a couple of my writes that I'll get two, maybe three different poems out of them, because they're a little bit redundant in parts. So you don't want to throw them away. Or you start to write with a hook line, one line that you love with, and then at the end of the day, you end up editing that out. You go, that doesn't fit anymore, you know.
Right.
Yeah, the process is always amazes me, because we're all different. I'm sure we're all different how we go about it.
Right.
Very true. Very true.
But,
so
I've been trying to think of how we could have a show to share that, how the little tricks somebody might know that would help somebody else they didn't realize creating. But you know, I'm a rhymer, so there would be a lot of something to be a non-applicable to a lot of writers.
Do you find it difficult to write in non-rhyming form?
Did you hear what she said, Deb? Yeah,
very,
I've written three verses and then had to go back and make it rhyme just to make the universe right. Yeah, of course.
Oh. I'm the same way. I've written a few free verse, but for some reason, when I read it to myself, it just doesn't sound right.
You know what I do?
I agree.
If I'm writing a free verse, I will slip one rhyming line in there somewhere.
The thing
with that is too, that the free verse writers find it just as hard to write in rhyme as we do in free verse. I think for me that there's something musical in that rhyme that comes that doesn't happen for me in my own poems when it doesn't rhyme. But then you sit down and you listen to somebody like Sweet, or you know, I mean, she can spin this story and with her voice and it's just a heady thing. And when you're done, you don't even realize that there was no rhyme. Or like Kay with her phenomenal metaphors, she's not a rhymer either. But by the time you're so in awe of some of the metaphors that you forget it didn't rhyme. But for me, it's just much easier to rhyme. All right, now listen, guys. We have Frank's. Wait a minute. We have Frank's recording. And then we have Crystal's poem, and if we don't hear from her, I will read for her. But in the meantime, I was hoping that Linda might tell us about her next show coming up, I think, this week.
Yes, Saturday at 9 p.m. at La Cosa Nostra. We're having some fun with some stupid jokes and good poetry. It makes a good mix. Come on by. Always love to have friends.
What time is that?
9 p.m. Eastern.
Okay.
And then my next show for A Team of Voices would be the second Friday of October. So I would love to see you guys there as well.
How do you like it so far?
Good. There's not a lot of people coming yet, but I made a friend Friday night that I think is going to be a return person, and brought her over from La Cosa Nostra. So, and she's a very nice lady, Francine.
Is that Francine? I thought you had her on the board. Awesome.
So come out and try me on La Cosa Nostra. I get a little silly
I love your little joke segments when you break away jokes. That's cool.
Well, it's just a way to fill in the empty spaces, you know.
Oh, absolutely. Whatever works. You're comfortable at it.
There you go.
I also just put a link on the board. I'm hoping that people will have a lot of fun with this one. Next week, the topic is plants and flowers that look like other stuff. And, I mean, there's plants that look like monkeys and plants that look like hummingbirds and butterflies and cats and aliens and brains. There's an amazing praying mantis orchid.
Yeah,
it does, other than the color being wrong, it really does look like there's dolphins, lips. I mean, there's some really skulls.
Hey, the naked lady one. The naked lady
and one kind of looks like not quite Darth Vader, but almost.
Yeah.
And there's one that looks like an octopus, and bunny ears.
Yeah.
There's even one that looks like Wicked Witch fingers with like black fingernails. The one flower looks like someone in a hoodie. There's a cat, a clown, blown away when I saw them. Yeah, I started seeing them because they just
think, yeah.
Most of them are.
Oh, Deb.
Yeah.
I know what happened Friday. My Wi-Fi went down and my computer wasn't working. So thank God for Hatter and Francine and Sky, because they got me through with putting the links on the board. I couldn't. I was totally locked out of my computer. So, but it came on right at the end.
Yeah,
that's
yeah
awesome,
right at the end.
I like that you said that, though, because, like, that's sort of the kind of vibe I wanted when we started this and we came up with the name of Team of Voices, because it does take a team, just like it takes a village.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that everything worked out, and I'm glad that somebody let Francine in the room, and that hopefully she will come back. But, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So let's click on Frank's poem, which is right above the link I just shared for next week's show.
Okay.
And I will push his recording as soon as you guys tell me you see it.
Who should you put up? I got Frank's. Is that it?
Poetic. Yeah, yes.
Frank's, okay, yeah.
A.K.A. Poetic Picasso. Do you see it, Linda?
Yeah.
Yes, I got it. Thank you.
Okay, here we go, you guys.
If I could fly away with you to the younger glint of a morning dawn, hide in the color of your violet beauty, of springtime with my wings, sip from the sweet nectar, from the velvety petals of your purple lips, caress the gentle touch of your blossoming flower forever. I wish I could feel the rhythmic beating of your heart, see the dewy glow radiating from your sparkling eyes, dance with the harmony of your orchestral voice within the romantic shimmer of the dip of the twilight. I make your blushing cheeks swoon with the passion of my words, waiting to be enraptured with my soothing seduction. I am the taste of a mulberry kiss, full of an evening succulence, a nightly champagne to entice in the intoxication of your drinking. Love is sleeping in the embrace of your violet petals, washing away the sad tears of yesterday's rain, comforting you with the lullaby of my flapping wings. As you press gradually again my butterfly lips, eres mi sed y yo soy tu vino. You are my thirst and I am your wife. You are my thirst and I am your wife.
I'm sweating over here.
Hey, under that telltale heart voice, there's a soft romantic break.
That was pretty cool, Hatter, that telltale voice. That was cool.
Well,
I
got him to commit. He's going to record us telltale heart. Or he's
going
to do it live. I don't know which one. The whole version is sort of long. But, I've been bugging him to do that. He said he'll do it by Christmas.
Well, right on.
this is the second Reich that I've seen the word glint in it, right off the bat. Somebody else had said that in a piece, glint. He does. He needs to turn up the volume just a little bit, Frank, because I jacked my phone up all the way and I still was missing some. But have you noticed that nobody has said butterfly kisses? I was expecting that to be in the movie. I didn't hear it if it was. He's got mulberry kiss and butterfly lips. I thought that would be, you know, is it that your eyelashes or something?
Too cliche.
Yeah, it's an awesome song, but yeah, probably everybody's used it at least once. Oh, and I did add the soft art that Frank chose for his poem. So take a peek at that. And then I apologize, I lied. I had another recording and then crystals. I have one from Gerald Green as well. So when you look at Frank's art, you can click on Gerald's. I'm sorry, did I let you comment, Linda?
No, not yet. But that's okay, but I'll comment. You know, Frank, no matter what he does, whether it's macabre or seductory, it's just as beautiful. He's got this voice that is just, I don't know, it's eerie, but it's soothing at the same time. And this verse, love is sleeping in the embrace of your violet petals and washing away the sad tears of yesterday's rain. Beautifully, beautifully put. This is full of imagery and charm and like the words are like flower petals. They're just beautiful. So thank you, Frank, for sharing once again your beautiful work. I applaud you. Thank you, Frank.
Yeah, he's the group linguist.
Yeah, he totally does a brilliant job.
Yeah.
Okay, click on Gerald's, please. It's on the board.
Got it. I had it in my pocket.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Hang on 1 second. Gerald Green, Social Butterfly. There we go.
Okay, here we go.
Social Butterfly, written and read by Gerald Green. I never knew her name, but called her Monarch to myself while watching how she worked a room, as if she owned the yellow tulip bar and grill. It seemed she had a friend at every table, laughing while she talked and sipped free drinks, tequila and pineapple juice on ice. She always wore gold pants with black accessories, white polka dots arranged to catch the eye, to dazzle with her figure and suggestive moves. And then one fateful night, she met her match, as three new ladies also worked the floor. In gold and black, they looked like family. I knew it couldn't last, would end in tragedy. So paid my tab before my drink was served, and quickly took my leave before the fight began. It's been 6 months, and things have settled down, a common thing when winter cools the air. And so tonight I'll take a chance and go again to visit Yellow Tulip Bar and Grill. End poem.
I saw it coming.
The Yellow Tulip Bar and Grill. How cool. You know, you never really know what to expect when you start listening to him read his poems, which of course is part of his charm, but it's almost always something totally unexpected. Third stanza, she always wore gold pants with black accessories, white polka dots arranged to catch the eye, to dazzle with her figure and suggestive moves. I don't know why that made me giggle, because, like, yeah, I can see the outfit, I can see the dots. And almost the second to the last, I knew it couldn't last. It would end in tragedy. So paid my tab before my drink was served and quickly took my leave before the fight began. It's been 6 months and things have settled down. A common thing in winter cools the air. And so tonight I'll take a chance and go again to visit the Yellow Tulip Barn Grill. I mean, Social Butterfly, the Barn Grill, really, really clever. And I like how it's in the first stanza, and then we wind up, yeah, let me go take another trip there. But all the way through, it's very cool. But I really, really like how she always wore gold pants with the black accessories and polka dots. It's very, very clever. And his voice is always so crisp and clear. Yeah. And he's not like
Does he sound a bit like Gonzo? The way he reads?
I don't know. No. I think he's got like a, like he should be announcing football games or something. So very cool. Thank you very much, Gerald.
Yeah. Very good, Jerry.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Comment.
Did you say Adder?
Yes, please.
Storyline is true. He didn't waste his time. It seems to be missing a little something, which is not a bad thing. It keeps the reader guessing or create their own image. Who was the lady? They had no problem seeing the lady in the gold pants and the black accessories. I had a little stacked hair the way they do, polka dots. Yeah, we know who she was. It's not a fight coming. It's just the way he anticipated the fight and paid his drink without getting it before it was served. That's genius. I mean, it's like there's a part missing, but you didn't need to hear the part. You knew what went on. 6 months later, try it again. Things have settled down. Now, when he's read that, it's been 6 months and things have settled down. It's almost like, okay, that was my other half. Was the lady he described. I just left her there.
Great comment, Hatter. And Linda, I was wondering if you would comment for Gerald and then read for Crystal for me?
Sure. Yeah, Gerald, I like what you said about you never know what to expect, because you're right.
Yeah.
He takes you into a direction and then, boom, it's off to the sidelines, and he does that very well, and then brings you back to a cohesive ending. But I really liked this. It was very cute, and I was once a bar mother for a dancing bar, and we had our girls. And you could definitely tell when some of the girls would have a problem with another girl, and when a fight was going to bump off. And we had some major fights these Crips, Hatter. You know about the Crips?
Oh, yeah.
From LA. Yeah, they were there, and three different clubs were there. My husband's club came in at the end. There was another motorcycle club there. It bumped off and exploded, and my bar just typically exploded. But you know when something's going to pop off. So this was very well researched and written. But good job, Gerald. Nicely written.
Sounds like the Mongols of the Angels.
The Mongols were there.
Gerald... Since he started writing and for their group, I mentioned it before. we were going to try to get him on the to come on and read live on the air. And in that statement, I also said, what do you think he does for a living? Because he was so good at the – we were so impressed at the beginning of how he wrote. We almost said that he at some time he – I bet he was a teacher or else. But I don't know what he does. But I've always been impressed by his writing, his thought. I think that's one of the good things about getting to know the poets is you can really tell where they're coming from, how they write. I was all doom and gloom when I first got here. It was all doom and gloom in very cryptic metaphoric lines. It's hard to follow because I was hiding the pain, you know. But Gerald's always been good. Yeah. He's on our team.
Right on.
Great comments, you can. And Linda, do you see crystals? Read for us,
yes,
please.
I do. And it's called Berry Butterfly Wings by Crystal Hope. Watercolor splashes dipped her brush, stroking the dusted canvas with pastels. Her hand bled with crimson roses, echoing berry blooms and bluebells. Ivory blossoms popped on weak stems, with melted lime crayons fading. Bracelets of wings tangle a crown, flowered with marigold braiding. Cotton candy clouds coloring with crystal glaciers wiping the stains. Red hummingbirds drink the nectar of honeysuckle grasses and rooftop rain. Silver skies paint like sunset swings, sponging blueberry butterfly wings in poem.
Yeah. Great stage.
It's like a sonnet.
It's a long line ride there too. Yeah, it's the we say the crowd fills with the miracle bridge. Yeah, I think it's more complicated than at first seen.
Yeah, beautiful,
awesome read, Linda. And I think it's cool how she compared, like especially at the end there, to the blueberry, the sponging blueberry butterfly wings. And I really like the watercolor splashes is a great way to start. But I like that second stanza, ivory blossoms popped on wheat stems with melted lime crayons fading. Bracelets of wings tangle a crown flowered with marigold braiding. The descriptions there are really clever and different. And the melted lime crayon was quite cool because if you look at it, you can see little bits of like that lime crayon that bleeds through, and cotton candy clouds coloring with crystal glaciers. I really love when she uses crystal and or, well, she used to always use hope in there, but I really like when she does that, when you keep looking and you usually will find it in there somewhere. I like the approach, the colors, the descriptions. The rhyme, it was a really cool share. And though you did a beautiful job, I missed getting to hear Crystal read it, but appreciate that. And Linda, you read Doll. What do you think?
Very beautiful. And she picked a very soft prompt to write to, and she did it just beautifully. The colors in this just popped off the page. And just wonderfully cotton candy clouds coloring with crystal glaciers wiping the stains. Red hummingbirds drink the nectar of honeysuckle grasses and rooftop rain. Just very sweet and like a ballet dancer kind of spinning around the page. Very well done. Thank you, Crystal. Thank you for letting me read it.
Can I ask a question? At the end of the poem, the first, after the poem, it says, my lifetime ranks 74 for my word count. Now, does that mean it's listed 74th best of hers, the way the computer looks at it, you know, how the auto rank? Or does that mean my lifetime ranks 74? Is that a total score for one of the pieces, you know?
Wait, where? My lifetime. Oh, okay. my life.
My lifetime actually four.
Oh, okay. If you look on your profile page, you will have a lifetime. Like mine says 30 lifetime.
My profile. I look at my profile.
Yeah. If you click on as if you're just about to check for messages and or look for the chat groups, across the top you could see like it would show you what you sent. It shows you a couple of your poems that the most recent ones that were liked, and then you should see the words like. They rank you on a daily basis out of 5,000. Huh?
Mine's such a large number. Okay. 480.
Like it should have a lifetime.
I got 880.
249.
I think I'm looking in the wrong area.
You should see rank. Say, for example, number 113 out of 5K, and then it'll say this week. And then the last thing on that list there will say, like mine, 30 lifetime. And
you hit the thought bubble up top where your messages count.
Okay, I'm in the wrong place, so.
Click
it like you were going to go to your inbox, Linda.
Yeah.
Okay, hang on.
Like you were about to check your messages.
Okay, the bump, the little bump thing. Okay.
Yeah, and you should you should see lifetime likes. Like I have 26,847, and then it says rank out of 1,000. And then the last thing says a number and lifetime. Mine says 30 lifetime. Crystal says 74 lifetime, and.
But that's not on one poem. She's ranking the one poem.
I'm doing something wrong because you know when you do that, what is it called? They rank your poem. They rank
the auto rank
poem, and you get and it goes to 10. I've always gotten one or two maybe, and I can't believe that out of all my poetry that not one of them is up there above a 2.
Let me tell you something.
I don't know if it's maybe because I put the little icons in there.
Yes.
Well, not necessarily. It doesn't. Auto rank's not the biggest fan of rhyme, for one. Yeah. For two, it starts to minus for if you get sentimental, it doesn't like sentimental. So, and a lot of your poems make us feel. I don't know. If you wrote it the way you normally would always write it and then go in and maybe just try changing a few of the words or something, you'd be surprised. It's usually just sometimes, Linda, the score changes just because you added a period to the end of a sentence. So it's not necessarily.
Right, and I'm not big on punctuation, and I do my own punctuation signs. Like I use that little squiggly line in between instead of a comma because
it's a grammar problem. You have too many lines in between your stanzas. I'll mark it down. Your little symbols in between, I'm sure. Take it away.
Yeah. Because I always put little symbols in between.
Yeah.
That's okay. I don't care if they like my poetry.
Yeah, well,
I listened to Simon and Garfunkel's Sound of Silence, word for word, because I think it's one of the greatest poems with the music ever done.
Yeah.
It got a 6.1 or something.
Wow.
So,
A lot of the ones that I've written are more sentimental. For the longest time, were all ones.
I like my poems to look pretty.
Sure. Don't. Yeah. Don't worry about that.
No,
yeah, I wouldn't worry about it.
Don't change. But like, Heather, as far as Crystal's poem, it wasn't a rank on that poem itself. If you click on the contents that she entered, one of the requirements was that you had to put your ranking on all poetry into the author's notes. And your ranking combines your activity, how many poems you wrote, whether you entered contest, whether you participated in groups. It takes all the things that you do in participation, how many comments you made, how many likes you got, all those things play to the factor, and then you get somehow rated. And for her lifetime, she comes in at number 74 on the site. For my lifetime, I come in at number 30 on the site. And I wouldn't be surprised if Kate's lifetime isn't something like a 4.
Okay.
Linda, put it this way. I tried to write the worst poem ever. It's called Pitta-Patta Moo. It is absolutely terrible.
Oh, I remember.
On auto rank, it was listed as number 1 for the longest time. If somebody went in and looked at their suggestion of what my best poetry was, it was listed as number 1. It's the worst thing there is.
So when he first introduced the auto rank, a lot of people sat down and just put a whole bunch of words on paper until it equaled a 10, like not quite a grocery list, but say a grocery list of words, and they weren't really poems. And then they used that example to point out all the flaws of the auto rank system. And like I said, it's not to judge each other on. For me, it's some kind of scoring way to try and force yourself to score higher than the last one. But when I do judge contests, I don't always remember to even look to see. I go by, you either have to make me feel and grab me by my gut, or I'm just going to, ho-hum and go to the next one. More times than not, I award by emotion, not whether or not you remember to put a period at the end of your sentence. And then there's some that do everything around auto rank. So it's a preference. It's not a scale to hold your work against, because at the end of the day, as long as you're proud of what you put out there, what else matters?
I think what's good about it, it does list like the cliche-ish words that you might not, and it suggests that maybe you look at something else. So it does help you go to a thesaurus now and then, I guess.
People don't realize it, but when you write a poem and you want somebody to be able to picture what you're talking about, then you want to use, but that was why I started forcing colors and pulling out my crayons, and all of a sudden everybody's like, oh, I'm getting 10s now. It's because auto rank wants you to, it wants you to write what you see, and the more descriptive you are, the higher your points are. So even if you don't care about the score, it does help you learn to show, you know what I mean, to describe, I don't know.
If you go in to look at those numbers that it gives you, do you have to go into the editor, like you're editing the piece? Will those numbers come back up on your page? You know, like bad words, good words. Let's say.
Well, a lot of people do it on their phones, so I can't speak of that. But I always write on my laptop, and while I'm writing, to the right of the body of the poem, you can just hit auto rank, and it'll tell you your score. And under your poem, on my laptop as I write, it also lists cliches and what it considers to be weak words. And
bring those up again, can you bring those up? Do you have to go into the edit to see that those suggestions and all those
Yeah.
Or is it,
yeah.
Do you see him on the final? Do you see him on the final? Because I don't on the final. I'm just wondering if you have to go into edit it.
Well,
I could Google
I
that.
See
and
it
that's exactly, mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's right. That's what it does.
Yeah,
right,
I see it all the way
through
until I hit publish. And then, yes, if I want to see it, I have to go into edit to see it at the bottom.
Yeah, I see. I never paid attention to it. You know, you can tell he put a lot of work into that program. So you'll find it hard to create a
thought. Apparently, the way it was explained to us a few years back when he started it was that he was feeding in classic poems and new poems, and it was gathering words that are used over and over and over again. And when he first set it up, the word "the," now if you don't have a couple "the"s in your poem, you're not going to score a 10. So it's just it's all a matter of what he feeds into it. So again, we say I only use the auto rank to compare my own poem to the next one to see if I can beat it. Other than that, it's not like he never put it there to add credence to your poem, just to give you another like any other game. If you're a gamer,
sure.
You want to beat your high score. That's all.
Yeah, I could see the advantage. I could see the purpose of it. I could see the purpose of it definitely. I know that some words ended up on both lists. Somebody pointed that out to me again.
Yeah, he often says, "Show me, don't tell me," and descriptive words are a big way to show and not tell. Like you could say, "It's right over there on the flower," or you can say, "It's across the yard on that big purple flower," and then you just were more descriptive, and you know that's all. That's mostly the function
somebody that's just started writing, I can see it as a useful tool. Definitely. If I had anything to help, I would want to complicate that too much. Probably it wouldn't work at all because just my mind the way it is. That hits on the process, which I'm fascinated with. Every poet has a different process of creating and finishing and editing a poem. I would love to be able to sit down and, you know, pick somebody's brain, see how they do it. How do you go about that? Probably be surprised. Some suffer more than others, let's put it that way.
This is true. All right, I want to thank people before the recording ends. Of course, my amazing board, Hatter and Sweet, and Mr. A.P. Taylor, and Linda, you're a doll for hanging out all night. And I want to thank Kay and Steven and Gerald and Angel and Phil and Laughing Soul and Frank, Poetic Picasso, and WSP and Crystal. Appreciate you all very much and your amazing poetry. Look forward to see what everybody decides to do with those flowers and stuff that look like other things. And
hey, Linda.
Yeah.
You're a doll. I heard that today.
Well, thank you. So are you.
You are a doll.
I'm more of a G.I. Joe with an iron bit.
Thank you, guys.
I don't know. G.I. Joe's a little bit lacking. Maybe we should ask your roommate what she stumbled across just out of curiosity.
A roommate stumbled across the ground? Oh,
well,
you know what?
G.I. Joe's anatomically bleak. What?
You know what I found? I was looking, and we were sitting in my roommate's room, and we were looking for some Dan Marino. I know she had some Dan Marino football cards because I had the price list
and I knew she had some older, so I wanted to compare. In this drawer, I pull out an autographed baseball. I go, what is this? And she goes, well, her husband, who's no longer with us, was an L.A. Dodger fan. So I'm thinking, it's got to be a Dodgers. But I'm looking at the ball, and these are old, faded signatures. She's got a 1961 New York Yankee signed autograph. That's Roger Maris, Mickey Mantle, Yogi Berra, Whitey Ford, and
wow.
On and on and on.
That's
like
incredible.
Do you have here? Do you know what you have here? Yeah. Get a safe deposit box.
Wow.
Damn.
Is it in a plastic case or is it taking fingerprints?
Yeah, it's a plastic case. But no, it's in a plastic case on a little golden stand. It was her husband's. So it was given to her husband by his brother, who had something to do with the Yankees or something. I'm not sure. And she thought it was an L.A. Dodger. So I'm looking for, well, I could recognize some name on there. And then all of a sudden I'm going, I think I see Whitey Ford. And Mickey Mantle.
Wow.
I go out and search.
That's incredible.
Wow. Yeah.
I'm thinking that
that
might
want
to get that looked at for insurance.
that's what I was telling her. I mean, we got to do something with this, man. Don't leave it in your drawer.
Yeah. Do something with it or insure it.
Yeah. I told her, I said, you could be retiring right now if it's the right kind.
Right,
yeah.
For sure.
Incredible. Like
that's
I said, I giggled
yeah,
all
well,
night.
I just found out.
Have that. That's great.
I just found what out
that?
My trust fund that came through with, it was almost 9 acres of land, is worth $25,000 to $27,000 an acre.
Is that in Alaska?
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Is that the
it's
house
up here.
In
a, no, it's about 2 miles down from my house. But yeah, $25,000 to $27,000 an acre.
Oh,
that's great. That's
I know. I'm
stabilize your future.
I thought I was going to get like $35,000 from it, and
stop talking about it.
And yeah.
Wow. So we go up and pitch a tent. Want to come visit? Pitch a tent.
Yeah.
Hey,
Deb,
1716. That's right. Okay.
I know the show sort of stopped taping. So,
okay.
How about we go out with the same song that we came in with and close out the show with "Send Me a Butterfly"? Linda, were you here? If you didn't hear this song, you got to listen to this guy. He's amazing.
Okay.
It's a shame that. It's a shame that he passed away.
Yeah.
And
oh,
again,
this is the guy from
America's
yeah.
Got Talent.
American
Got
Idol, right? Oh, America's Got Talent, right.
America's Got Talent, yeah. And he was a rising star. But anyhow, this is called "Send Me a Butterfly." And his name is Neil Nolan, and I am about to push play as soon as I get to Neil. Where is it? Maybe it's Nolan Neil, and that's why, because I just said it backwards. It is
yeah,
Nolan.
I got it down as
Neil.
Nolan Neil.
Yeah, it's Nolan Neil. Send Me a Butterfly. Thank you for the beautiful song, Nolan. Rest in peace. Love and respect to everyone. Here we go.
Why do all the worst things happen to the best of us? And why does all the love God made just turn to dust? And why the hell is there a hell at all? And why would God let angels fall? We were created to fly. So if you're up there, could you ask him why? And send me a butterfly. Let it be the color of your eyes. Show me a falling star. The second I'm wondering where you are, let me hear our favorite song. The next second I'm wondering where you are. Let me hear our favorite song. The next time I turn the radio on, if you're up there on the other side, I know you're up there on the other side. Send me a butterfly.
You want some more talent? I want.
Wow.
Send me a better.
Beautiful.
That's like your piece you wrote, Deb. Did you send me the butterflies? Is that it?
Yeah, that was the inspiration for my poem, and I use the thought of sending me a butterfly repeated to drive the point home.
I thought you were talking about me.
I actually was, Heather. It was all, you're a butterfly.
That's sweet.
Yeah, I thought you'd like a dozen butterflies or something.
I know.
Great show.
Appreciate
you
guys.
Deb.
Guys, be back.
Thank you, guys.
You guys rock.
Yeah,
talk to you all soon. Thanks, AP.
Talk to you later, Deborah.
Night, Hatter.
Good night.
See you in your dreams.